Hello, and welcome to Monday Disney Madness. Or should I bring back Monday Disney Madness? Because that just sounds cool every time I use that effect, and I don't use it as much as I should, but I did say that I'm not going to use it that much anyway. But I think I should, because it just sounds cool, and I can change, obviously, the repeats and stuff on it, so it doesn't go on too long. But yeah, anyway, this is Monday Disney Madness. I am Ben, you are you. This is the Disney news and review of The Falcon and Winter Soldier. Oh, and also, I'm adding in a review of The Mighty Ducks Game Changers too, because that started last Friday too. So yeah, stick around, let's have some fun. Okay, so it's Disney news time. So, as usual, on a Monday, we talk about Disney news, or news from around the world of Disney. And I should imagine that most people who listen to this are, in fact, Disney fans, because obviously Monday Disney Madness and all that stuff. So I'm assuming most of you probably would have heard the news, the big news, coming from Anaheim, California, about the expansion of Disneyland. Well, just Disney California, I suppose. But yeah, they've announced these plans. They've obviously now going through to government and going through all the legal procedures of getting it accepted, and then they can start going ahead with it, obviously. So the plans are, at the moment, Disneyland Forward, it's called. But I'm assuming that's just a working title. I can't see that being the name of the park. Well, the area, because it's not just a park. It's going to be park, hotels, lots of shopping, restaurants and stuff. All basically in amongst each other. Like intertwined, if you will. So hotels are going to be dead in certain like areas of the park and stuff. If you go over to DisneylandForever.com, there is, well, you'll see it, the big concept art is straight up on the page, and it shows you. So there's like, you can see the themed areas. So from the looks of it, it's gonna be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five possible themed areas. The ones that you can definitely make out is Peter Pan, like Neverland area, which is on the far left. And then it looks like Tangled. But yeah, I'll tell you in a minute anyway, because when you scroll down, it tells you all like the different themed areas, what they could possibly be taken from other parks and putting them into this new area called Disneyland Forward. But we'll see if that stays the title, the name. I don't think it will. I think that's just the project name, if you will. So, but from the concept art, it looks like the hotels are actually within the themed areas of the lands, which would be pretty cool. It means that you're staying in a hotel overlooking certain themed areas of this new hybrid park slash whatever it's going to be. Which means that when you wake up in the morning, you should be able to just basically go walk around the park straight away. I assume there's going to be rules around it, like when you wake up, you may only be able to walk around that area of the park sort of thing to start with, and then when they open it up, then you'll be able to freely walk around and whatnot. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's not going to be for a good couple of years anyway before they get everything sorted, because it looks massive. Looks like it's going to take a lot of work. But yeah, there's like a little paragraph on the page as well when you come on to DisneylandForward.com. It says, we want to bring more Disney investment to Anaheim. However, this simply isn't possible under current inflexible planning restrictions. Unless we remove and replace some treasured attractions and rides in our parks today. Without updates, new Disney experiences and placemaking created by our beloved stories will likely never find their way into Disneyland resorts as they have to other parks around the world. With Disneyland Forward and more flexibility within our existing properties, new lands and adventures like those underway at Tokyo DisneySea and Shanghai Disneyland could inspire new experiences here. And then when you scroll down, you see all the new lands that are coming to parks around the world, Disney parks around the world. Like Frozen. They got it as Frozen here, but it's Arendelle in it, because it's just the town of Arendelle. And then you see stuff in the background, like the mountains and stuff. This is also going, I believe it's Shanghai. Not 100% sure on that one, but I know it's going into Disneyland Paris, because they announced that a few years ago, and they just announced a couple weeks ago that it's going to be delayed by a year, so it's not coming in 2024, but it's coming in 2025 instead. Which is understandable. But it's still coming to Disneyland Paris. So, guests get to visit Arendelle, the home of Anna and Elsa, and explore this frozen land filled with thrilling boat adventure, as well as restaurants set inside the castle. So I'm assuming each of these land will have like one major ride and then one major restaurant. So each ride will have like two major things. And then, you know, and then obviously little shops and gift shops and stuff in between. Some may have more than one ride. Obviously, only time will tell on that matter. Tangled. Rapunzel's tower overlooks a charming forest where guests board gondoliers to the Lantern Festival to live Rapunzel's best day ever with Flynn Rider. A restaurant where she befriended a band of thieves in the film will also feature in this land. So it doesn't sound much of a ride. To be honest, it just sounds like you're going to go on a little gondola adventure to see the floating lanterns. More of an attraction than a ride. I know people put them together, attractions and rides, but rides are when you're actually like physically involved and doing stuff, you know. Like, and attractions are like shows, like more show element to it than it is actual. I know what I mean. I'm sure many people will though. Peter Pan Land. Peter Pan Neverland. Neverland Land. But it just says Peter Pan here. The Neverland area features two attractions, one of which, one that, with the help of Tinkerbell, guests go on a boat ride following the Lost Boys down the river, and the other taking guests on a journey into the middle of Pixie Hollow, where Tinkerbell and her fairy friends live. The area which also includes a restaurant and spectacular views of the inspired and spectacular views inspired by the Lost Boys' iconic hideout. So, them three seem set in stone that they're the three that's definitely going to happen. Peter Pan, Tangled, and Frozen. And then, as you scroll down a bit more, there's a section called Disney's Newest Adventures. With updated approvals, Disney California Adventure Park could be home to some sort of Disney's most advanced, immersive, and cutting-edge entertainment. Taking cues from those lands and attractions from around the globe that inspires. Right, so, reading this then, because I've never actually looked at this yet, I've just read the stories about the theme, like this new thing coming. So is Disneyland Forward just going to be these three lands, the Peter Pan, Tangled, and Frozen, on the back of Disneyland itself? Well, because it's got the map down here to show you where it's possibly going to go. And it looks like it's out of the way of, well, not out of the way, but it's just down the road from Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. But the area looks quite small compared to what the picture looks like above. So to me, this sounds like these three lands are going in this new area. And then this Disney's Newest Adventures bit is going in the current parks, like as expanded areas to them parks. But it doesn't tell you which areas they're going in. I mean, it does say Disney California Adventure Park, which I just read out that thing under Disney's Newest Adventures. So, are they all going in DCA Park, or are they, like... Because if it is, then it's, like, two major lands and quite a big ride, which I'll tell you about now. Zootopia. So, the land of Zootopia's going somewhere in California. Toy Story Land, which is in Hollywood Studios as we speak. That's also coming to... There's a little version of it in Paris as well called Toy Story Playland. But it's not... Well, it's definitely not as big as what Hollywood Studios seems, because that just looks massive. And then they're also bringing the Tron Light Cycle Coaster, so that means there'll be three of them around the world. There'll be Shanghai, Magic Kingdom once that opens, and then obviously California's getting it now as well. So they're really pushing ahead with this Tron Light Cycle Coaster, aren't they? Must be like a favourite of Disney workers, I suppose. But yeah, them three are coming, but it doesn't technically say where they're going. But like I said, when I read it out, it did say Disney California Adventure, so all three going in Disneyland California Adventure. If so, then that part's gonna be fucking massive. And then as you go down, this is where it shows you the map of the area of California, showing you where Disneyland is, where DCA is, where the current hotels and shopping downtown Disney area is. And then it shows you like possible new parking structures and possible buildings that they could build. Then they show you this new kind of Disney entertainment they've got here, which could include a theme park, hotel, retail, dining, and entertainment. And then this bit is the possible... Ah, right. I get it now. I was just looking at this bit down here that says a new kind of Disney entertainment. So that just looks like they've got a plan in place for something. I'm wondering if that's going to be like maybe the new downtown Disney area. I mean, they'll still have that original downtown Disney area, but this one looks more like, from the picture, it looks more like a Disney Springs-esque type of area. So, like, a lot of retail, a lot of dining, entertainment, and stuff like that. So, this is where the new theme parks are going to go. And it looks like they're going to connect on to Disneyland and DCA itself. So, but I thought they already had a Disneyland hotel. Because this little map, it's very hard to explain, but what I'm looking at is, I assume, the concept art above, but in like whereabouts it's going to go in California. So according to this, it's going to be like on the back end of Disneyland and DCA parks. So there's going to be like an entrance from both parks into this new one. And then at the back of it, they've got written down Disneyland Hotel. So are they going to be building... People in California will have to tell me, is there enough space around the Disneyland Hotel already? Because then they've also got down here as well, Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel. Is that already a hotel as well? So if it is, then it looks like they're basically just going to build this third park, this Disneyland forward park around the existing hotels, which is going to cause a lot of construction. Like, a lot of construction worries for people that are staying in them hotels, I suppose. But anyway, yeah. And then as you scroll down even more, this is where it shows you this, like, the one that I said looks like Disney Springs-esque type thing. A new kind of Disney entertainment destination. This property could be the perfect location to cater to locals, conventioners, hotel, and Disneyland resort guests with restaurants, hotel, live music, shopping, ticketed shows, and theme park experience. Modeled after the popular Disney Springs, modeled off Disney Springs area in Walt Disney World. So yeah, they just want to bring like a little tiny version of that to California, which again would provide more jobs, more economy for businesses and like people. If they're doing like live bands and stuff, then yeah, bring more entertainment down that way. I suppose in a sense, it's good and bad, because one, a lot of people don't like that Disney do a lot of stuff anyway. So that's the bad. But good side is that you just got to look at it as, like, they'll be creating quite a lot of jobs. And then right at the very bottom, it tells you about new parking and transportation places that'll be going in and around Disney California already. So that's the big news from this week. I mean, yeah. I've never been to California. Like I said, I really want to go. I've always wanted to go. Not just for Disney, but I'm a massive film nerd, so I want to do like studio tours and whatnot around there. But I mean, I know there's people out there that won't like this sort of news because, like I said, some people think that Disney have got too much like properties already around the world and they hate change and whatnot. But again, you got to look at some sort of positive that is going to create like thousands upon thousands of new jobs, bring in some sort of like new economy boosting side of things. Yeah, just gonna be fun. So, what's the other news from around Disney this week then? That was obviously the major thing. They started facial recognition as well in, I believe it's just Magic Kingdom at the moment. But I suppose that's one way Disney's going to be trying to improve like the entrances to the parks. I don't know. I know that they do. Well, I don't know if they do it in Shanghai per se, but I know when it reopened, they started using like a, some sort of facial recognition software to test people's temperatures and stuff, so they could just walk straight through and it would take the temperature from a distance and stuff, which I thought was pretty cool, and I thought all Disney parks would have brought that in. So I suppose in one sense, this could be like the start of that sort of thing for Walt Disney World. But I'm not too sure. I know Paris have been testing out these new gates for the last, well, for the last couple of years. Well, it's not been, well, it has been open last year, but I mean, the last time we went was January 2020. But I mean, before that was November 2019. And they just recently opened these three new testing park entrance gate things. I can't even like describe them. Basically, you just go up to it, scan your ticket as you do at Disneyland Paris anyway. But then it also takes a picture of your face. And then like, yeah. So that the cast members on the other side can see your face and see if it links up with the ID and all this stuff. It's pretty cool. I mean, it works better for like obviously annual pass holders, because annual passes, yeah, have your face on it anyway. So when you scan them in, maybe it's just annual passes that it works on, that it scans your face and then scans your card, so that the facial recognition comes up on both your card and, yeah. I know what I'm on about. Disney Cruise Line is back as well. Only in the UK. Only through summer. Only for 2, 3, or 4 day staycations, they're calling it. Bookings will commence in April, so not that long away. About 4 days away, if that. No, 3 days. 3 days away. I doubt it'll be the 1st of April. Probably sometime in April. It doesn't actually give you a specific date on when you can, but when you go on the website, it just basically tells you from April prices and deals and whatnot we'll all be able to book. So, they'll be departing from London, Tilbury, Newcastle, Liverpool and Southampton. The trips will last 2 to 4 nights. It's just literally like a staycation, they're calling it. Let's see if I can find the actual story to it, because that was just a rumor, but it has been announced now, because when you go on Disney Cruise Line website, the UK version, it does say that it's setting sail in June 21st, I want to say. No, I think it's June 25th, because June 21st is when the UK has announced that they want to be out of all restrictions for COVID. So, yeah, I can't find it now. But if you go onto Disney Cruise Line's website, the UK version, it does tell you on there, like, about everything. I will try and find it now. Right, so here we go. Here we go. New UK staycations with Disney Magic at Sea. This summer only. So, summer. Now. So. This summer set sail on a unique Disney staycation at sea aboard a 2, 3, or limited 4-night cruise experience from the UK only. Departing on selected dates from London, Tilbury, Newcastle, London, and Southampton aboard the Disney Magic, our new staycation sailings, exclusive to UK residents, invite you to embark on board a brand new magical Disney experience, close to home and at sea. Be immersed in Disney storytelling thanks to an amazing collection of onboard entertainment, dining, and recreation of the entire family. With all the care and from all the care that you expect from Disney. Check back soon for more details. And then it says at the very bottom here, booking begins on April for sailings in summer 2021. But then there's also a list of stuff here, what you can expect on the ship. Discover a brand new close to home sailing experience, awash with imaginative kids activities, fun family entertainment, exclusive adult recreation in a staycation that you'll never forget. Special moments with Disney characters. Spend quality time with the beloved Disney stars. Snap some photos with the mighty Marvel heroes or Captain Mickey himself. Behold a royal promenade with Disney princesses and greet Toy Story friends. Heroic encounters and royal festivities. Join in a frozen flurry of fun with Anna, Elsa and Olaf, or enjoy an epic encounter with Marvel's mightiest heroes. Imaginative dining experience. I can't even speak. Disney Cruise Line dining is culinary. Is a culinary adventure. Savor diverse global cuisines inside themed restaurant with unique entertainment. Fun for everyone. Overflowing with creative fun for kids. Unique recreational offers for adults and thrilling entertainment for the whole family. A Disney cruise provides all the fun for one and all. Spectacular Disney entertainment. Where does a spectacular West End quality musical become your bedtime story? Be dazzled as the Disney stories come to life on stage, including a pre-show celebration with Mickey himself. Health and safety is our top priority. We're implementing multiple layers of health and safety measures, considering the guidance from the UK government, health authorities and medical experts. And that, for now, is all it says on this page when you go on it. And again, it just says bookings begin in April for summer 2021. I'm sure it said from June 25th, but reading this, it may be like July they might start. So it gives you a couple months to, you know, get ready for it. Even though it's only 2, 3, or 4 nights, it's still some sort of Disney magic, because us in the UK can't go to Florida as of yet. Obviously, other parks around the world, apart from the ones in Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Tokyo, I believe are all open. But again, in the UK, we're still under travel restrictions, so we can't really go. So I suppose this, for summertime, is a nice little extra. Nice little touch. I assume it's going to be expensive, because Disney cruises are usually expensive. Never been on a cruise. Always wanted to do a Disney cruise, but they're usually a good couple grand, but that's usually for like 7 or 10 days, I believe. So maybe a 2-night might be, I don't know, just a couple £100. I can't see myself, but here's hoping. Even a 2-night one would be cool, just, you know, to get away for a couple of nights and just stay on a ship surrounded by all things Disney. I'd be up for it. But, I mean, again, just have to wait to see what the money side of things are. How much it's going to be and when's it sailing? That's it. Disney's also announced a few things for film-wise. So they've announced that Black Widow is finally coming out again. I say again because it's been announced like 3 different times now. In fact, it got announced and then I think it got delayed again. But only by a few weeks this time. I think it got announced for May and now it's been delayed until like July. So, not a massive delay this time, but it's coming out in the cinema and on Disney Plus Premium. So, but they've announced like all Marvel films and stuff are still coming out this year, hopefully. The Obi-Wan Kenobi series has added more cast members and is getting underway within the coming weeks, I believe. It's definitely soon it starts, because I remember Ewan McGregor saying it's the start of this year that it starts. So, and I've seen set photos of them building, like, obviously, the surroundings and stuff that started in February, I believe. So, yeah, that's just a few little things about Disney Plus. So, segueing on Disney Plus, I will talk about stuff that, well, this Friday, well, Friday just gone, shall I say, was the second episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I'll talk about in a minute, but it was also the first episode of Mighty Ducks Game Changers, which, if anyone knows me well, then you know that Mighty Ducks is quite possibly my favorite Disney trilogy or favorite Disney live action film they've ever done. It's just a feel good trilogy, really, isn't it? It's just a feel good movie. I love all the Mighty Ducks films. I can't really say there's a bad one. Like, even if I had to rank them in order of good to bad, I can't, because there's not really a bad one that I don't like. I like watching all three. I like them all. I think they're all funny. I think they're all timeless, and they're just all around great. So when they announced that they were making a series to do with Mighty Ducks, I was both excited, like really excited, because I wouldn't shut up about it to my best mate for ages. Because I know he likes the Mighty Ducks too. He likes the Mighty Ducks as well, not Mighty Ducks 2. That makes it sound like he just likes number 2. But, yeah, so we used to talk about it all the time. And then the trailer hit, and then it was like, from the trailer, it just kind of looks like a reboot of the first film, in a way. In some sort of ways. And don't get me wrong, like, they still look cool. So, obviously, I was going to watch it anyway, because you say Mighty Ducks, I'll watch. Same with the TV series, the Mighty Ducks animated TV series. I still watch that. Wasn't the best, but it was cool, I suppose. But yeah, the first episode is to be expected, really. Just introduction of characters, showing you, like, these kids want to play hockey, but then they're never good enough and all that stuff. So the parent decides to take it upon herself to make their own team. So he has to go out and try and find, like, 6 other kids that will form this team, or 5 other kids, something like that, to form this team. And then obviously you got to find an ice rink to practice on. So then she stumbles upon this ice rink that's currently being run by none other than Gordon Bombay himself. Emilio Estevez is back, which is fantastic. Still got that same, like, attitude about him, like he does in all the Mighty Duck films. He hates hockey and he doesn't like kids. It's as simple as that. Like, he says that in the first film, and he says it in this episode as well, which was amazing. Like, I get it. I get why some people probably didn't like this episode, because it was pretty much similar to the first film, or, like, part of the first film, at least. But at the end of the day, you got to look at it like, They're obviously, like, trying to reach out to the newer kids of this generation to, like, try and get them involved in what they've probably known throughout, like, the medium of social media and stuff of the Mighty Ducks brand itself. So, I, for one, am very happy that they're doing something with the Mighty Ducks, because it has been long overdue that they needed to do something else. I always thought of a fourth film, but then I thought a fourth film wouldn't. It would have fit in nicely if they got the story right, but usually, like, films, they stop at three if they can, because obviously that's like a trilogy. And to make a fourth one, just make it a bit weird, because then you'd probably feel like they need to make a new trilogy, and look how the Star Wars Skywalker saga all appeared and turned out. But yeah, we won't get into that. So, I think a TV series probably is the correct way of doing it. And if they can implement, like, the old characters from the Mighty Ducks films into the series, hopefully the series will get renewed and come back as a second series, and then they can, like, properly tie in bits and bobs. But I feel like this series is just basically going to be obviously an underdog story of, like, these misfits that have been told they're no good come together. Basically like the first Mighty Ducks film, they come together under a coach, a leader. They basically, like, kick ass along the way. Make your route for them and stuff. Will they go the same route that the Mighty Ducks first film did, where the Ducks win at the very end? Spoiler alert if you've not seen it, but it's too late now. Or will they, like, get all the way to the end and then lose? Because I always find, like, yeah, certain films are good for doing that, like, where they can build up a character or a team and then they win, and at the end you can celebrate, like, woo, yeah, like. But then also on the other side, I'm also like, you can build up a team or character and then have them fall at a final hurdle, because then if you know there's already guaranteed second film, second series, whatever, you know that they're gonna come back and win or something at the end. It's basically like, has anybody seen Cobra Kai on, I know it's not Disney, but has anybody seen Cobra Kai? The first series built up like fantastic, and then obviously the Cobra Kai won at the end of the first series. Even though I know they would have won, because, like, obviously the series is called Cobra Kai, but at the end of the day, you were kind of still hoping that LaRusso and stuff would still pull it out of the bag. But then the second series happened, and yeah, then you know what happens. So, with this series of Mighty Ducks, I'm kind of hoping they build it all up, get this team together, kind of possibly, like, mold them to not be great, because no team is perfect. But then at the same time, like, do it in a style that is fun to watch, is, like, relatable, is, you know, you can root for them, and you will root for them, because they're the underdogs. Everyone loves rooting for underdogs. But then at the, maybe, like, not even get to the final, maybe knock, like, because it's a tournament, obviously. If you don't know the, if you've not seen it yet, it's a tournament style that these kids have entered right at the very end of this episode, because he finds his team, surprise, surprise. He finds a team, enters this competition as, like, the last team, or a new team. So, yeah, I don't really want them to go in and be, like, winning everything and then be, or lose everything, and then they need to win the last game to stay in it, and then they win, and then they go on and win the tournament, sort of thing. Nah, don't do that. Maybe do it like obviously they'll lose the first couple because they've only just got together. But then, like, make them win a load, get us believing, and then maybe knock them out towards the end of the tournament. Maybe not at the final, but towards the end. Because then they'll be downhearted, but then you'll be like, yeah, well, come on, guys. Like, if you're coming back for Season 2, which I should imagine they will, if you're coming back for Season 2, then you know they're just going to go for it and they're probably going to win because that's what Mighty Ducks do. Ducks fly together. Simple as. But with that being said, let's swing it full circle and stick with Disney Plus. But let's talk about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier Episode 2. Right, so a lot of things happened in this episode. One, we found out more about the guy that has been branded as the new Captain America by the government. Bucky and Sam don't like him, obviously, because he's not Steve. Well, he's not Steve, because Steve's now gone. But at the end of the day, if the government wants that guy as Captain America, then that's their choice, yeah? I mean, Bucky and Sam don't agree with it, and they have confrontations throughout this episode with the guy, because he's always coming in to try and steal the spotlight and help and whatnot. But the new Captain America also comes off as a bit of a dick. Like, he's proper cocky, cocksure of himself. Because Sam asks him, like, have you ever jumped in front of a grenade and all this stuff? And he's like, yeah, 4 times, actually. Which I think he's bullshitting. I just think he is. I just think he's full of shit. Like, he's not. He definitely isn't as good as, like, everyone's making him out to be. There's something dodgy about him, and we'll find out during the series, obviously. I still think it's going to come to that situation where he's going to become in trouble at some point, and then Bucky and Sam's obviously going to... Well, they teamed up in this episode, so they're going to stay together throughout the next 4 episodes. But they're going to, like, go and help him, and then prove to him that he's not a hero type and all this stuff. And that's probably when you'll find out all the revelations that he's, like, a fraud or something. That's just my theory. Don't take my word for it. That's just a guess. If it's right, I'll be fucking amazed, because I'm never right. But anyway, that's just my guess at the moment. Then we found out Bucky and Sam are in somewhat of a disagreement, because Bucky blames Sam for giving up the shield, but then Sam's like, but I didn't want that sort of pressure put on me and all this stuff, which is totally understandable. Who would want to take over from Steve? Like, I know I wouldn't. It's big shoes to fill, isn't it? But so Bucky's like, goes to Sam, tracks him down after seeing obviously what happened in the first episode where they bring out the new Captain America. Bucky goes to Sam and is like, hey, why'd you give up the shield? And then, like, Sam's like, back off, man. I don't need this shit. Which, I'm also happy that this Marvel series is including swear words in. I know Marvel sneak in a few cuss words here and there, but it's pretty cool. Like, and then they have their usual banter, like, these new bad guy people are like one of the main three, I think they said. So they're like, what's the main three? It's like alien robots or wizards. And then they get into an argument about whether Doctor Strange is a wizard or not. And at one point they say he's a sorcerer, and like, I think it's Sam goes, yeah, but a sorcerer is just a wizard without a hat. Which, he's not wrong. Let's be fair. Sorcerer has powers, same as wizards. If anything, sorcerers are more powerful than wizards, I believe. Well, I would say so. in my experiences of reading about wizards and sorcerers and seeing lots of Lord of Rings and all that stuff. Wizards are only powerful because they got like a staff or something to like generate their power. Sorcerers can do exactly what their name says. Use sources. Source their power to conjure stuff. So yeah, I would say sorcerer is more powerful than wizard. But again, that's a different topic for a different day. So then Bucky's like, yeah, alright, I'll tag along, whatever, like. But he's still trying to get into Sam's ear about, like, obviously, the shield and that Steve chose him, basically. So basically, it's a bit of sour... Well, it's not really sour grapes, in a sense. I think Bucky's just saying it because, like, Steve chose Sam because there's something about him that he knows. He'd keep the Captain America dream alive, sort of thing, if you want to say that sort of thing. Well, I'm saying it, but I mean, like, you know what I mean. So then Bucky's like, well, Steve chose you, which means that he believes in you, which means that he... But then Sam's like, well, basically saying that he doesn't believe he's the one to take up that mantle and to, like, he's not that guy that people think he is and stuff. But then Bucky's like, well, if Steve's wrong about you, then he's wrong about me because he believes in me too and all this stuff and whatnot. Which, yeah, Steve always fought for Bucky, even when he turned out to be the Winter Soldier. He never wanted to, like, have Bucky... I was going to say put down, but it sounds like a pet. But he never wanted him to, like, get hurt in any way. So he always fought to try and win Bucky back. Or to change Bucky back, which he did. So he's always been that sort of person to, like, if he believes in someone, that he'll do anything to help him. So, as this series goes on, we'll obviously get an understanding of Sam, like, wanting to finally take on the mantle of Captain America. Like he does in the comics, he becomes the Falcon and Captain America both at the same time, which is probably the route that they're going with in this series, is that by the end of the series, Sam will be Captain America and Falcon at the same time, have a swanky new outfit, like how Wanda did at the end of WandaVision. You'll probably have a new, like, get up, so you'll have, like, the Captain America colors suit and then the wings obviously on the back, and then Bucky will probably be like, right, I've done my job, I'm off. So will we see Bucky again after this series? Probably. I don't know. I think the series is more aimed around, obviously, Sam becoming, like, Captain America and the Falcon, like the comics. But then, I'm just thinking, like, because obviously in the comics, Bucky becomes Captain America after Steve. So what if, like, this whole series, they're going on about Sam being the next Captain America, and then at the end it turns out that Bucky's going to take up the shield, like he does in the comics. I mean, it could go either way, to be honest, because on one hand, Bucky does take over from Steve in the comics, but then on the other hand, Sam takes over from Bucky in the comics. So, if they're going to go off the timelines of the comics, shall we say, then technically Bucky will become the new Captain America, which could be like the plot twist within this series. Could be that Bucky's obviously going to come face to face with what's he called again? The bad guy from Civil War who brainwashes Bucky all the time. He's back in this series, but he wears the purple mask like he does in the comic books. So, I should imagine we'll get Bucky face to face with him, and then maybe that's when Bucky will be like, "You can't control me anymore. I'm my own person." And then maybe from that will come Bucky becoming Captain America, because he's no longer under the influence, or can be under the influence, of mind control. So that might be like the massive arc twist in this story, is that we're believing it's Sam at the beginning, because that's who the Shield ended up with, Sam. But then Sam give it to the museum and says he didn't want it because, like, he didn't really want to take over from Steve. So, like, it could swing, like, halfway through the series then. It could be, like, Sam could turn on Bucky and be like, "Well, why don't you do it?" Like, and then maybe Bucky will get the idea of, like, "Yeah, maybe I could." But then Bucky's still, like, not cursed, but, like, has all these demons still inside him, which he may end up with this therapist, like, actually helping him, like, rid these demons, and then helping him clear his mind so that it's properly clear and that nobody can fuck with him again and all this stuff. So then that's when you might get a confrontation with Bucky, and it begins with a Z. I know it begins with a Z. But you might have a confrontation with him and the bad guy and be like, "Look, you can't control me anymore. That was my old life. This is my new life." And then that could be the major arc swing, is that Bucky then appears as Captain America. So he puts on this uniform that this current wisecracking cock of a Captain America is wearing. But obviously rip the arm off because he needs that metal arm on show. Simple as. But then he could become Captain America. And then maybe that's how it ends. And then that's how we move forward in the MCU. Is that he's now the new Captain America, with Sam as his number two. Like Steve had Sam as his number two. Know what I mean? That could be like the whole swing. I've just literally just thought of that right now. It could happen. I'm going with this now. This is my theory, is that Bucky's going to become Captain America by the end of the series. And it's just going to, like, twist everything around that people, like, from the trailers, from episode 1 and episode 2, we're led to believe that Sam is going to become Captain America. Even at the end of Endgame, when he gave him the Captain's Shield, we was like, "Oh, so Sam's going to be new Captain America." But then maybe that's, like, the plot. Maybe that's the plot twist, is that Bucky's going to become it. Bucky's going to be the man. He's going to be the man to do it. He's going to be the man to succeed Steve. And he's going to take things forward, which I could totally see and I could totally get behind, because Bucky is a fucking badass, like, genuine badass. With that metal arm, nobody can fuck with him, like, you know what I mean? I mean, Sam's a badass too. Like, he's got super cool wings, and you've seen in the first episode, the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show, when he was, like, flying through the canyons and stuff, chasing down helicopters and whatnot. If that's not badass, I don't know. Basically, this series is going to turn out to be a total badass. Episode 2 was fantastic. Like, it had a lot of character development already from everyone. Introduced us to I can't think of his name now. but it was a guy in the house that Bucky knew. He had the same serum as serum. Is that what it's called? Serum. Super soldier serum. I don't know. But he had the same sort of stuff what Steve had injected in him. So there was basically two of them at the same time. But he was the one that was left out, sort of thing, and abandoned by the world and whatnot. But yeah, I'm pretty pleased with how I've just come up with that analogy of what the series could become. And I think I'm going to leave it there before I say anything else. That is how I feel. That is what I'm sticking with. If anything changes in episode 3 that makes me change my mind, then obviously I'll be back again this time next week with my episode 3 review and theories of the show. But as of now, I think Bucky will be the new Captain America. And you can take that with a massive pinch of salt, because everything that we've been led to believe from Endgame to the trailers of this series to the first two episodes have all been Sam this, Sam that. Sam, you should have had the shield. Why did you give it up? Blah, blah, blah. But again, I think it might be a massive plot twist and it ends up with Bucky. So there you go. That's me done. I'm off. Have a good Monday. Have a good Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday, hopefully. May not be. I don't know yet. I don't know how I feel about Wednesday's episodes as of yet. But if not, then I'll definitely be back Friday. So enjoy your week. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe, be kind, be respectful at all times. You can hit me up on all the socials as per usual. Let me know. Do what you want. I've been me, you've been you. This has been Monday Disney Madness, and I will see you soon. Well, speak to you soon. Or possibly see you soon on stream if you follow me on Twitch. Anyway, I'm out.